Welcome to Community Voices. In the studio today, we have Larry Keats and Corey Bagg of Acorn Music. And I put them in that order because most of us know that way, way back, Larry was a big integral part of Acorn Music. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
And we also have Dave here.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Hey.
So why don't we go back in time and start with the beginnings of Acorn Music? And Larry, I know you've got the history all down.
Okay. Well, I believe, according to my memory, Acorn Music started in 1978 with a couple named John and Judy Clark. John Clark was a banjo player, and he needed to get some banjo strings really badly. And the flower shop down the street had just gone out of business, so he thought maybe this would be a good job for my wife. And so they opened Acorn Music, and because he worked for TELUS, they named it Acorn Music because it was first in the alphabet in the yellow pages. So that's how the name came about. And then he got transferred to Victoria. And in the process of that, they were closing out their business. And it just happened to coordinate with the time where I was on the road with this band. And of course, as every band happens, we broke up. So I moved out here and walked into the music store, and they were having a closing out sale. I said, maybe we could open a store. Maybe I could take it over, because I saw an ad for drum teacher. And I thought, well, I'm a drum teacher. I have music education background. So with those two little seeds, I ended up owning Acorn Music. That was September 1980. So it goes a long ways back. And so 1978 to 2024 is a long history for any music store, and I'm quite proud that it's lasted this long. I was in the retail business. I wasn't pleasured about being in the retail business, but I was very pleasured about having a teaching studio. And the teaching studio was probably the most rewarding part of being part of Acorn Music, is watching all the young students learn how to play their riffs and then putting them together in little groups and seeing how proud they were when they could actually perform music and with their friends. And it was a really nice sense of community. And I find now, this many years later, I won't do the math, but I run into people. We jokingly called it the University of Acorn, the upstairs where we had the lesson studios. And I run into people, and almost all of them are still playing music. And that's what really makes me proud about that. And as I wasn't too thrilled with retail, I decided to give up my retail part and go back to school and get a music therapy degree. So in doing so, a friend of mine from years past, Lodi Keegan, came along and decided that he wanted to move from Calgary to Salmon Arm. And then he took over the store and took it from there. Then it grew from there with Lodi, and then all of a sudden Corey took over. So it's time for Corey to start talking.
I got a question. What year was it that Lodi bought it off of you?
1992. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So 1991, actually. And then in 1992, there was a little thing where I had to hold back a certain amount of money. And then when that came due, I went in and I bought a guitar, my first purchase at Acorn Music after that. And still use it teaching today. Wow. Canadian-made guitar, 1992.
I'd like to also point out that we sort of have some Acorn Music alumni here.
Yes.
With JC, having been a former employee and
ran the place.
And myself being one of the hangers-on that you could count on, coming in just about every day,
yeah,
hanging around the store. So,
looking for guitar picks.
Yeah. When did you work there, JC?
I think I started around 1985, I think, because I had been working elsewhere. And then you had been, there was an ad in the paper, and you hired me and Dave Hawken. And
wow.
Yeah.
Gee.
And then Dave decided that it was too much work for him. So
great. Yeah.
I got the full-time job, well, the full part-time job out of it.
Yeah. Dave went on to teaching and then went on to get his music therapy degree as well.
Dave Cowan was a teacher there.
Yeah. And Peter Ward and Bill taught violin.
Bill Wharton.
Bill Wharton. And Lindsay Lundquist was upstairs teaching voice and piano. And
still teaching today.
Yep, out in Enderby.
Yeah. Bill Locke.
Bill Locke, guitar teacher.
Yeah, I always remember you'd come down the hall and you'd hear like the trumpet or the flute players on one side, and then you'd hear guitar players on the next. Then you'd hear a really squeaky violin, and then you'd hear some warbling singing coming, and then the drums. It was just like wild coming up there, but it was so much fun. I do want to point out that at its peak, Acorn was absolutely amazing. We had about, 185 students, and lessons started upstairs at about 7 o'clock or shortly there around that time, because we gave you about half an hour for dinner. you'd teach all afternoon, you'd go have dinner, you'd come back, and lessons would go from 7 to 9 or beyond.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the groups.
The groups of students we put together from the lessons from all the teachers who collectively contributed to that program, and it turned into a really nice vehicle for everyone to. We had students doing original music, and we had students doing Madonna covers and whatever they felt like doing, and it was fun.
And now the legacy continues with Corey, the new owner. And so, Corey, how did it come about that you decided to be the new owner of Acorn Music?
Boy, that one kind of hit me in the face and fell in my lap. You know, I've been involved at Acorn at some level through affiliation for a better part of 30 years, probably 28 years. Never thought that one day I would be trying to purchase or owning it, but the opportunity came about. Lodi and Sharda were here for the Roots and Blues and had chatted with him as usual when we see each other, and mentioned that the store was up for sale and wondering if I'd be interested. And I thought about it, whoa, I was kind of gobsmacked at the moment. Thought, you know, that actually is a decent idea. You know, I've been looking for an exit plan and a strategy with my other vocations, and looking at what I've had a history of doing in my education and the relationship I had with Lodi and Sharda and those around, it just seemed like it was a good fit, lots of support. And so it took a while for me to actually make the decision itself. There was a lot of sleuthing around, sniffing around homework, just to see if it was something that it was feasible. And if it was, you know, is it something that I could help further Acorn with, you know, my background. So it took place at Roots and Blues 2 years ago, summer of 2022. It's just really taken off from there.
You mentioned your other vocations. Would you want to briefly touch on those a little bit and how they may have helped you make the switch to being the owner of the music store?
Yeah, absolutely. When I was in high school, I was involved in the band and music programs, primarily with the jazz programs. And I got into a music composition course with Brian Pratt Johnson. And it opened my eyes to wanting to do soundtracks and, you know, sound effects and kind of take it to another level. So I had talked to a few others around me, including Larry, and they discussed Capilano College at the time. So I enrolled in that and thought, oh, okay, well, I'm going to try and, you know, write movies, soundtracks, and maybe do sound effects. And, you know, one thing led to another, and I did the 2 years of schooling, and I wanted to transfer into another program, but I was unsuccessful. I had a poor recital, and my juror was my 7 a.m. Piano teacher, and that was really hard to get up to make it to the 7 a.m. piano class. So,
yeah.
So my marks weren't great, and then got to my jury for the year end and to transfer to another program, and who was my juror but my piano teacher. So I guess that was the fork in the road. And from there, I went to a few places, but I eventually wound up into sales. I took a UBC real estate licensing course, and I sold real estate in Salmon Arm following that for another 9.5 years. And made a lot of good connections, got back in touch with the music world and with different bands, including the Salmon Armenians in the area, and continued on in sales. In those sales, I just was developing my ability to work as in business. And, you know, may not at the time been my first pick or idea of what I wanted to do when I grow up, so to speak. But it did develop me as a person and as a character. And I look back now and all the culmination of the different vocations I had done and over the years and combine that with the music time, and it just seemed to be a really nice fit. I didn't have to sell my services on Sundays to sell houses, but yet I could still be part of the community and grow in business and make those connections and fall back on the other connections I had to carry forward. And so, yeah, it's been a really neat road to see how my sales past is working with, you know, being in the industry of music and working with customers and suppliers and the schools, of course. It's really helped me along the way to have it a smooth transition.
Mm-hmm. So you already have that foundation. You don't have to build it from the ground up, so to speak.
Yeah. There's always lots to learn, that's for sure. But, you know, I feel like I've got a good grasp on the basics and look forward to growing as a Salmon Arm local business leader.
How did you guys first meet and where did the journey take you?
Oh, well, that's sort of easy. We started a band way back in 1985 called the Salmon Arminians, which that's a story in itself how it was named.
1995.
Yeah. What did I say?
85. Yeah. Oh, I was thinking, I don't remember that.
That's the Phantoms. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, so 1995. And so we started a horn band, and so we needed horn players, and then Corey just happened to be one of the horn players that was at school. And so being blessed in having a musical community, we borrowed some students from the high school to be part of our Salmon Arminians clan. And Corey's been in and around ever since.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think the first gig I ever played with the Salmon Arminians was about a week after they invited me to take part. And there wasn't any rehearsals. Here's your charts, and here's where we're going. And it was Kingfisher Hall, and it was the jumble dance that they do out there. So that broke me in gently anyway.
The Salmon Arminians as a band has spawned maybe 60, 65 different people have come through our band, and we're still in existence, although we're not currently playing any gigs, but we're still in existence spiritually. And so everybody who's been involved has been a musician from the area pretty much. And so it makes the Salmon Arminians name kind of unique throughout the valley.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's part of the rewarding journey it's been with the Arminians is the people that you get to play with and learn from and just rub shoulders with. There's been some incredible talent from the Valley, and that talent just continues to play today. And it's kind of inspiring to know that we, you know, performed with them in the past as well.
You got any shows coming up in the near future?
Oh, yeah. There's in the summer, we're hoping to fire back up. We've got a couple things cooking, and we're in the woodshed doing our swimming in the stream. So just stay tuned. There's definitely a future for the Salmon Arminians coming.
And one of the things that we're doing as the Salmon Arminians is we're helping to ring out the room, so to speak, in our new lesson studio school that we're having upstairs. And we're having a practice space, so we're going to equip it so bands can come and rehearse. And so the Salmon Arminians will be our test band.
Oh, cool.
We know that you have rented some space upstairs in the corner block of Shuswap and Lakeshore.
That's right. Yeah, the Coronation Building. That's right. Yeah.
Okay. So when did that start to come about and what was the inspiration for it?
Sure. Yeah. I think part of that is a good story as well. When I was in the school program a long time ago, there was members of the musical community that would offer lessons for small groups and combos. And my very first combo was with a teacher, and it was Larry Keats. And so through that, that was my experience with lessons, was through combo lessons. And I know how important it was for me at the time to have some kind of goal and show that wasn't, you know, just with the big school band. And it was kind of more of a personalized taste on being part of a band. And so we played at the mall at Piccadilly, and Larry helped organize that. That was one of our first shows. So flash forward many years, but when we bought Acorn, we knew that music school is essential for the future of the store. You know, the students of today become the teachers of tomorrow. And I was drawing on the time when I was in a combo that Larry taught. And, you know, when I went to music school, that was important for me. And so I thought, you know, this is something that Salmon Arm needs. There's got to be some kind of music school for students to take it further and be able to go and seek education and perform music just outside of school itself. We knew it was important that we wanted to, for many reasons, have some kind of space that we could get lessons going again. There's lots of teachers in town, and many of them have retired since the last community school was open. So we thought, well, maybe it's a good time. Maybe we can reel some of them back in and reel back in some students. And I know there's waiting lists and a lot of demand out there for it. And what an exciting thing, you know. And part of that is to see, you know, what kind of model are we going to launch here? Is it just a school, or could it be more? Could it be a nonprofit that helps with other things? So, and that's what we'll discuss that more. But, you know, it's such a big picture with this concept. Really exciting how it's organically just growing and festering on its own. Salmon Arm is really great for doing that. And it's neat for us to have an initial idea and watch it blossom just before our eyes.
On this show that JC and myself do, we've heard the word community come up time and time again, which we really love. And you've mentioned the word community. And how is the idea of community a part of your mission with your new project?
Well, that's enough time for a whole radio show to talk about that. But what it's really all about is music is a driving force in all of our lives. And as a music therapist, I've witnessed the power of music and what it can do. Even just taking music lessons makes you a better person. It doesn't necessarily have to be therapy as a sense. So taking that a little bit further, we have Roxy Roth, who's also a music therapist and a music educator with some similar training background to myself. And so we're bringing that music therapy center in there as well into the school aspect, because everybody should feel good when they're doing music. And so that's kind of what we're trying to put together. Yeah. And hopefully the results will be positive music and positive feelings from everybody who's involved.
Corey, you have a mission statement. We'd love to hear that.
It's a work in progress, you know, with all the parties that are involved in the collaboration. We're trying to come up with a common statement that really puts out to the community what we're trying to accomplish. We're trying to foster quality musicianship and invite people to experience the healing power of music. We're creating a space for people in our community to collaborate. And that's the beauty of it, is it's a space that things can happen out of, and future things. It's a space where students can take music lessons, family classes. It's a place where there's session spaces. You know, maybe you want to rent a room for your own musical interest, to do loop tracks, to teach another individual for your own healing benefit. There's session spaces available for that. It's an ideal fit for rehearsals and collaborations, youth band programs. I mean, it's got a really nice big room that's going to lend itself well to having larger groups. And then, of course, music therapy sessions, as we discussed, that's going to be a big element. We're offering instructions for all major instruments. You know, we're looking for teachers. We're developing our teacher program, and we're looking at expanding our services. You know, there's a lot of potential here, and we've got potential for more space as well.
And we got Dave.
And we've got your own local connection, CKVS Dave.
I have the privilege of being the first guitar teacher, so I'm going to try my best and hopefully contribute to the success of your new endeavor.
Yeah, well, we're really excited to have you on board. You're already busy teaching and adding students by the day. So if you know Dave and you really want to learn how he plays guitar and learn how to play like him, then give us a call.
How many rooms do you have up there right now?
Five plus a large room, yeah. So there's five studio spaces, yeah.
What particular instruments are you prepared to teach at the moment?
Currently, we have our bass and piano teaching happening. There will be saxophone teacher. We haven't got all the woodwind stuff up and going yet. We're still looking for teachers, but there's lots of people who want to take those lessons. So there's a lot of interest doing from the student side. And then vocals is another thing that we're hoping to offer. I met with a vocal teacher yesterday, and we're working through it. So everything's a work in progress, but before long, we'll have it all. And right now, it's amazing the interest just in guitar and piano and vocals alone. It's really inspiring, to be honest. Yeah.
And drums.
Yeah, I can't forget about the drums.
Larry, will you be teaching drums and percussion?
Yes, I will. I'll also be running some groups, and we got a community bandwagon program. It'll be starting that you might hear more about later on.
Yeah, what's
we're going to build our own bandwagon.
Can you describe what a bandwagon is?
It's a mobile recording studio that moves on wheels in a case, and it has a keyboard in it and ability for microphones, plug microphones and guitars in, and it has its own speaker system. And we use it at school for the music therapy program at the high school. And so we want to build one for the community with bigger wheels on it, so we can wheel it down the street under the treble clef and play some music for everybody.
So who would use the community bandwagon? All ages? And
yeah, all ages, all people, inclusive. Yeah, and so I have a variety of students that have worked with the bandwagon in the past at the high school who are now adults in the community. And so they'll be the first grouping of people that would probably be making use of that, and then it'll be inclusive of all members of the community, and all ages and diversity would be welcome.
You have a web page that shows a picture of that, don't you?
Yeah, it's on Facebook, Bandwagon, Salmon Arm Bandwagon 2. Mm. You can see there's a song and a slideshow of our first bandwagon project. That was 2016, so it's been around for a while. So we're working on getting it updated now.
And Corey, you'll be teaching horns?
Yeah, I'm going to teach some sax. My job, most of it is going to be just to coordinate between teachers and students. But there's definitely some that would like to learn sax, and I'll be doing some of that. And hopefully we can bring another sax teacher on board as well. And also, Larry, did you want to speak a little bit about the Music Heals and what's offered there?
Well, Music Heals is a charitable organization that has been instrumental in providing funding for our school program, and been involved at the Roots and Blues Festival, where we've had the bandwagon present as a display demo at the Roots and Blues Festival. And Music Heals were responsible for giving the bandwagon to the school in the first place, and have been instrumental in providing funding for music therapy services in the schools, because there is no money for that. It's all by donation. And we've been lucky over the years to get private donations and funding for Music Heals to allow the program to continue. And so we're trying to expand it into the community. And as a nonprofit, we'll be looking to get a more of a profile in the community with that as well.
Also, we should touch on Roxy's programming that she's going to offer there. And I know she's going to be kicking off family classes again and Rhythm Kids come April. So the group sessions are going to be offered with her teaching, so that there's an option for people to collectively perform and enjoy music together. So it's a neat element for us to have her on board and to bring all her energy and all her supporters. And it's a nice program to be able to offer.
Have you come up with a name yet for your new studio?
Yes and no. The name is continuously being massaged. Right now, it's the Salmon Arm Community Lessons School and Community Music School. There's session spaces, you know, there's studio spaces for sessions, and it's a tongue twister. So we're still massaging the name, but right now we know that one thing is for sure, and that's it's for the community and it's a school. So we want to make sure that everyone knows they can have a part of that school, and that it's all encompassing and it's for the whole area to be part of.
If someone wanted lessons, how would they contact you guys?
They would contact us through Acorn Music, and we can channel them to a teacher from there and line them up with the scheduling. And they can come by for a meet and greet, a walkthrough of the studio, and see what kind of lesson programs we have available and make a plan from there.
Can people just drop by and check it out and see what's going on and maybe become interested in that way?
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to come and see what kind of space it is and the size and what kind of room it is, test out the acoustics, we welcome people just to get excited about this space. It's for everyone.
Because it's upstairs above some other businesses, how do we get to it?
It does have its own door at 40 Lakeshore, and it's one flight of stairs up. There's also a door from the Inner Core parking lot that's level entry, so it's really great access for physically challenged situations and for heavy equipment and that sort of thing. So it's a nice setup for us because it's very similar to what had been there in the past. And that's what took us so long to get it up and going, was trying to find the right space to do so. Since we bought the store a year and a half ago, it's just been a bit of a juggle trying to find a good space, and everything aligned and worked out really nicely. And it's only four doors down from the music store. So good toy store to have down the way for all the lesson musical needs.
Have you got any social media regarding it yet, or a webpage or anything like that?
Not yet. We're hoping that with how things are organically growing, every teacher is adding their take on things, you know, their decorative side of things, you know, their musical talent. So we know we're going to be fostering and growing this great, big, awesome thing. And so we're hoping that through that, the concept and the overall ideas will come out of that. So it's a work in progress, and you know, nothing's launched fully yet. But in due time, yeah, it'll come to fruition.
There's a real connection between all the different elements of the musical community in Salmon Arm. Any thoughts about how this might merge with, say, you know, Roots and Blues, or maybe doing a show in conjunction with, say, Song Sparrow Hall or something of that nature?
Yeah, that's a neat avenue to explore going forward. We would love it if they would be willing and needing the facility. I think it would be a great fit for visiting artists to have as a green room to prepare themselves. And even if it's days leading up, you know, it's a good opportunity for artists to meet each other. And then festival weekend, it's a space that'll be available. So for the Roots and Blues and Folk Music Society, you know, it runs in line with everything that they need as far as space and things too for certain uses. And I think it would be a really good fit. And how lucky are we to have Song Sparrow just down the road, you know, and that touches on the bandwagon, and Larry's program with the community bandwagon. It's a unique location, and it can roll from there right down over to Song Sparrow from the studio. So I think it'll be something that they can use in the future for sure.
Yeah, our focus in the school part will be educational. So we'll probably, rather than thinking about any kind of external performance space, it's going to be more of a workshop educational space where we will have guest musicians come in and perform somewhat, but in a workshop where the focus is on some sort of technical aspect or some sort of musical culture, like you have a Celtic fiddle player come in and give a little demo and a chat and maybe have a little jam session along with that. So maybe where the Song Sparrow would come in would be when Sarah Harmer's visiting, she might come over to the studio and give a little visit with some of our students. Mm-hmm. Just an example.
Right.
And so then that takes Song Sparrow and Roots and Blues and puts them all together and puts them in an opportunity to provide an educational element to both of their projects.
A thought just came to mind. Have you considered maybe having a tent on the Roots and Blues grounds for the music studio and having a couple students just play occasionally?
Yes, we're planning that with the bandwagon. We have it worked out, and we'll have a tent, and the bandwagon will be there, and there will be students that have worked on the bandwagon who are hopefully still willing to be. We had it all lined up for last year. We had students to do a little demonstration with the bandwagon, and then we had a couple of artists from the festival were going to drop by and record a little piece of music on the mobile recording studio with our students running the bandwagon for them. And And we were kind of working towards where everybody would get a chance to, well, on the keyboard, we would put some stars out and say, okay, those are the right notes. You can play along to this blues track. And then you played at Roots and Blues. There you go. And it would be a collective blues progression with numerous overdubs of everybody and put their name on it. And then it would be just kind of a something they could send to themselves as a, we could send it off as a, as MP3 file, and they could be happy and say, see, we recorded at Roots and Blues. And anyway, so that's some of the ways that they connect together. And so we will be having something at Roots and Blues this year for sure.
Which happens to be a month earlier coming up.
Yeah, Christmas in July.
Larry, you and I did a little school assembly tour with a band from Winnipeg a few months ago. And could you explain a little bit about how that something like that would come about and where the funding comes from, and perhaps if you and Corey will have any involvement with the district in terms of music education?
The project you're referring to is the Salmon Arm Folk Music Society. We donated my services as a sound engineer and roadie in our PA system that we have that's available for the community to use. And so it is, and therefore is available to the school district. And Michelle Honikop, Reed, the musical coordinator for the area, you know, invited us to come along at, as part of that series. And so we're providing that assistance to up the educational aspect of the community, because they tour the schools, have a certain budget for cultural activity. And so we're happy as Salmon Arm Folk Music Society to help them out in that capacity. And that's how we got there. And so we're doing our part for the volunteer community and giving it back to the schools in hopefully getting some volunteers to help us at Roots and Blues. Anyways.
So the school that you're starting is a nonprofit?
It will be, yeah.
Are you able to find grant money and project money?
We're seeking it, yeah. And that's where the community bandwagon, quote unquote, comes from. That'll be the nonprofit aspect of it. And so it'll drive the scholarships for students who want to be involved in the school and might not be able to afford it, with the emphasis being on putting together like the group program and establishing a good quality, vibrant group program is what we're looking for. And so the bandwagon would be the nonprofit part of it. So that would be the aspect of the school that makes it a collective. It'd be different than the facility itself, right? As the community nonprofit, we would be renting the facility as well as the teachers rent as well.
The lesson studio side, individual lesson programming, that's not nonprofit. Acorn's running that. But the main concept of the whole facility is that we're going to collaboratively use the space and utilize it to its best potential. And if we can help the Music Heals bandwagon community programs have a space that they can use at you know, a reduced rate and be able to generate momentum to do bigger and greater things, then that's awesome. You know, that's the idea here is to facilitate and ultimately get it out to the community.
So it's a combination of a business and a nonprofit.
Exactly, yeah. You know, in this sense, one couldn't exist without the other in this space. So it was a way of putting them both together so that it could function and have a future. It's a future for the music store. It's a future for the students in the community. It's a future for those who want to take their musical journey further.
Corey, you live in Vernon, is that right?
Yeah, I do.
We've spoken to some people that just love Salmon Arm for work and live somewhere else. And they've mentioned that the time they spend commuting is a time that they use to either sort of decompress or reflect on mm-hmm. their day. Or is your commute one where you come up with ideas and, and sort of brainstorm? And what's that like?
Right. Well, if anybody knows me, they know I put on a lot of miles in a day on my feet and on my tires. And definitely that's the home office. That's sometimes the kitchen. And a lot of the time that's where the pressure cooker with the ideas is. But ultimately, I think Larry has been such a good consultant as far as he's the ideas guy. You know, I'm the boots on the ground and the doer, and he comes up with the ideas and they're sticking. So living in Vernon, you know, it's not ideal, but it certainly suits me well. And that drive from Vernon to Salmon Arm every day is filled with hands-free phone calls and setting things up. Ultimately, Salmon Arm is my home. My free time is here. My free time that I work is here, and my heart is here. So, you know, Vernon's a great facilitator for the other part of my life, but ultimately, Salmon Arm is it. So it's not a bad commute. You know, in the city, some people are used to a 40-minute commute, and going 25, 30 blocks. So for me doing, you know, 50, 55 kilometers, that's not a big deal.
Mm. We've heard that from others too, that it's part of their day that they actually look forward to.
So. Yeah, absolutely. I could touch on that. You know, I think it's quite therapeutic. It gives you a chance to kind of slow down a little bit with your thoughts and collect yourself. You know, I'm not necessarily a person that multitasks very well, but there's a conditioned response with driving, and it gives me the chance to think and reorganize my thoughts and my plans. It certainly is a good thing. You know, a time in my life I worked in the oil patch, and we had a good solid hour commute to the oil patch, you know, to the well sites and that. And I enjoyed that because it prepares you for the day. You can ease into it. You know, you have your coffee and, you know, you're not boom running as soon as you're getting out of bed. So it's been an okay fit. Yeah.
So were you born and raised here?
I was born in Prince George, moved to Salmon Arm when I was 15. So I consider Salmon Arm kind of my core home. That's really been the roots of things. I left, of course, in 98 when I graduated and went off to Capilano College and, you know, did a little bit of the Alberta tour and came back. So ultimately, this is where I'm from. Yeah.
And Larry, we know you're from Saskatchewan.
Yeah. But I've been here for longer than there, so.
You're kind of a Salmon Armite now.
Yeah, yeah. It's the thing about BC is everybody's from somewhere else. Almost everybody is from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Including yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so BC is it's kind of like the end of the line in one sense. You can't go any further in BC when you get to the coast, till you go to Japan. Anyways. I digress.
So is there anything more that you would like to add to what we've talked about so far?
I guess a final thought on things is that Salmon Arm is a beautiful place full of beautiful people. And music has been such a big driver here. And it's touched many people, whether you're a musician or not. It's really exciting. So I guess if anything, we just encourage the people of our area and our valley to take part in live music, in live events, and show your support to those in arts and culture that are putting out themselves and getting out there and really expressing themselves for the benefit of others. And it's nice to see such a strong supportive community. That's what makes it so beautiful and awesome here. I mean, look at the big treble clef we have downtown. If that's our, you know, main motivation, it's quite a place. So we love people to continue to support and just get out there and buy those tickets for events, volunteer for events, donate for events, and just keep it going.
When we've talked to the other businesses downtown, we found that they've all connected together, like along Hudson. We found that the businesses knew each other and helped each other out. And the same with some people along Alexander, or what was the other street we found that on?
Alexander.
Hudson. Yeah.
Yeah. Hudson and Alexander have their own little communities. Have you connected with anyone yet apart from Acorn Music?
Right, yeah. That's a great question. I think in a downtown as a whole, yes. With just a street, probably not. But, you know, when I say downtown as a whole, as a core, we're talking Ross, we're talking Hudson, Alexander, all of it. And downtown Salmon Arm has done such a great job at trying to bring all the businesses together. They promote content from all the businesses all together. Also, there's after hours meet and greets, and, you know, you can showcase your business to other business owners. others. So we haven't taken part very much so far. Our intent is to do so. But I know that what we have taken apart with some of the social media contacts and that, and there's the private groups that the downtown local businesses are all part of, just business owners. And it's a really encouraging thing because, you know, if you need an electrician, if you need the security guy, if you are aware of nighttime burglaries, if you know of a great opportunity, it's a space where all the downtown businesses are sharing to each other. And for us, we've been taking part in that, and it's been a growing experience. So we're so new to it that we haven't done a lot, but we definitely are tuned into it. And Althea is such a great person bringing that type of thing together, the work they're doing with Downtown Salmon Arm and that. And she's always coming in, taking pictures and promoting and that. So there's a real sense of unity and community, even amongst the business owners, scratching each other's backs for sure.
But on that particular street, I just noticed as a citizen that quite a few businesses have changed over on that street in the last year, like the shoe shop is different people and
next door to us.
Clothing store is gone. So things are changing on that street. It seems to be constantly evolving.
Yeah, there's some new businesses that are, well, not new in the sense of Salmon Arm, but new as in our new neighbors. There's new neighbors coming in all over. It's nice to see businesses be able to grow and spread their wings and outgrow their spaces. And now they can express themselves in a new location and with new opportunity. So it's moving in the right direction. It looks like that at face value that there's good support for those businesses.
Well, it is interesting how things have changed over the years. I mean, Acorn Music started where Foods of India is now.
Yeah, no kidding.
Moved into, I can't remember what came in after Sena Electronics, but that was next to door to us when we were there.
Yeah, and Colton's Books.
The Books, right.
Was where the music store is now, was Colton's Books.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was before Sena?
Oh, and then Sena was the Gonawanda.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And they're now Eclectic Soul.
Yeah, there's a lot of history along that stretch of Salmon Arm. And when we were doing the store renovation and looking at the flooring and moving flooring, and then you start peeling up flooring and you realize how many layers that you're peeling up and seeing how much history has gone in just in that. It's quite eye-opening. Yeah, definitely unique.
Yeah, because just before Acorn Music was there, there was upstairs was a hairdressing school at one point.
I remember that. A friend of mine actually worked there. Someone I went to school became a hairdresser and was in that in that school.
It was always a mystery why there was all these extra sink taps around. Who needs that much water?
What's the phone number for Acorn Music so people can phone and inquire about?
Sure, yeah. It's probably the same phone number it's been for decades, but 250-832-8669.
I still remember it.
Yeah. One of those core numbers, anything 832. Yeah.
Thanks a lot for coming in.
Yeah.
We appreciate having you here, and much luck with your music ventures, the store, and also the school. I think that's awesome.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you.